Okay. Thank you, everybody, for coming to this session. You had 11 options, and yet you choose this session. So thank you very much for coming here today. So my name is Amr Fouad. I know it's hard to pronounce, so for the next 70 minutes, you can call me Bob. I'm cool with that. Okay. So today we'll talk about collaboration and pods. How many developers in the room? You know, a lot of developers. I'm a not good developer, so don't comment on my code. Anyways. So, how many SharePointers? Anybody implement SharePoint before? How many of you heard the word collaboration as a buzzword in the project before? Collaborate that, collaborate this, right? I even used it in the title. Okay. So, the thing about collaboration is people use it as a buzzword, but what it actually means. Does anybody want to participate? Tell me what collaboration is. Okay. So, I did a little bit of research, which is 5 minutes. I just Googled what is collaboration, and I got like a decent amount of definitions of collaboration. I pick one of them, which is this one by Dr. Barbara Gray back in 1989. It's 26 years from now. It's very old. But what resonates with me with this definition is it's a process. So basically, you can reach an outcome on your own, yes, but yet you can reach a better outcome if you work with your colleagues, with your peers, or with somebody who is actually smarter. Maybe it's not even a human. And hold this to this thought in the future, okay? So basically, collaboration is a process. It evolves over time because we use different tools to collaborate. It's a state of mind. What we need to achieve the state of mind is basically two things. The first thing is behavioral or culture thing, which I think it's ticked because we're doing this outside of work. So outside of work, we are very collaborative. We work with everybody. We share even the intimate moments. But when we go back to work, it's my team's thing. It's mine. So I think the main part within an enterprise is the tools. The tools you need in order to cooperate with your peers. Okay? And even if you have the most collaborative people and you don't give them the tools, what they will do? They either leave the business or use alternative tools, which is you can use stuff that is outside of your control, which will create problem for you in the future. So when we implement collaborative, let's say, solutions, there is one major, let's say, pitfall that we all fall into. I've done this before. Everybody, I believe, fall into this trap, which is, oh, let's build this collaborative platform. It's one platform for everything. Usually, people come from a SharePoint background. Oh, let's build something on SharePoint. So we limit the experience to the web-based experience. And after that, we start building responsive SharePoint, which is a web-based but works well on the mobile. Interestingly enough, there is other experiences, other channels that we can tap in to leverage higher adoption rates, which is when we build or extend, for example, on Office 365, we have the web-based. We all know web-based. We've all done web-based application on top of SharePoint. There is even a new thing, which is if you build a standalone web application that connects to your Exchange, your OneDrive, your Power BI, and I think Elaine has a session tomorrow, HCLD33. Let me remember correctly the session number. It's 322A. So it's Cloud CLD322A. In this session, Elaine will explain how to build a standalone web application that connects to Office 365 via APIs. So the experience not only SharePoint, okay? So this is the web-based, the stuff that we used to do, SharePoint or a standalone. Mobile, native, the stuff that Microsoft already been creating for us. So we have the Office groups, we have application on the mobile. Now SharePoint has an iOS and Android application. So why we're not thinking of building a native mobile application for our workforce if this is the best for them? The third thing which is rarely being built is the contextual apps. If your users are working inside Excel, they're Excel gurus, they work in Excel, why they have to go and switch to a web-based application and go and search for a file? Similarly with Outlook. So why we don't bring these experiences to the Outlook, the Exchange, the Word, or the Office application? So which may actually give us back to why we're building these platforms. What is the goal? What is the reason of building this collaborative platform? So we're trying to enhance productivity at some sense, right? So you try to enhance productivity and you build a web-based application. People are reluctant to use it. And then productivity goes down. You spend a lot of dollar and effort in building something that nobody's going to use. Even if you have the perfect adoption plan in place, you will spend more money on the adoption to make sure that people can adapt to this. And the fourth thing, which is, I'd say this is the topic of our session today, is the conversation-based app. So you can think that Skype is a conversation-based app. You can get stuff done on Skype. Yes, you can get stuff done on Teams. How many of you saw Teams in action? Okay, decent amount. So the conversation-based app, imagine that, back to the definition of collaboration. You work with somebody who has better skill, better knowledge. So what if this somebody is a bot? Somebody who learns a lot, who is instantaneously replying to you. So the problem with the conversation-based app, it's not synchronous, it's asynchronous. You send a message and you wait for a reply. Some people will reply instantaneously, some other people will just don't reply as soon as you want. So imagine the most collaborative being, somebody who is there always for you, he's smart and he learns and he is personalized. He knows a lot about you and a lot about your business. So today we will see how we can build our enterprise bot. We'll start with very basic stuff, but before that, let's talk about the concept. What is the bot needs to understand and connect to your, let's say, end systems? So first, you need a conversation channel, like Skype or Teams. You need to type in something. And also, you might send an email. You might send an SMS. So let's back again to embrace the differences. Not everybody will love to work with Skype. Not everybody will love to work with Teams. Somebody will just send an email. So a bot also can listen to a channel, which could be... Sorry, what is that? Okay. A glitch here. Could be email, SMS, Skype, or Microsoft Teams. And then it goes to your bot. The bot get the inquiry, which is an English text or any languages. We can see it's supported by up to 14 languages. And it connects to Louis, or people say Louis. I don't know, it's just an abbreviation. So it's like Language Understanding Intelligence Service. I used to call it Louis, okay? And Louis actually will send you back the intent and entities. What is actually the user wants from this text based on the model that you train. We will create an application from scratch. You can use also Cortana applications, so which is built in 5 only languages. So if your language is not ready-made in Cortana, you can build your own application. And then after you understand, you need to connect to your Office 65. You will get a token from an Azure AD app, and then connect to either Microsoft Office Graph, Microsoft Graph, sorry, and SharePoint APIs on any other APIs. Okay? There's lots and heaps of APIs. Intune has an API. You can connect and activate a device. Okay? So I will just jump down to a demo. And let's switch. Why didn't switch back to 8? It didn't switch back to 8. I don't know why. Okay. It didn't switch to 8. Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties here, as usual. So it's...
Turn into 8. Just press it once.
This thing has to happen, you know. Can I just switch the cable?
Yeah.
Let me switch the cable. It'll be easier.
Let's just connect up.
Yep.
It's not going.
Yep. Let's switch this cable over here. Yep. Okay, cool. So we'll start with a very simple bot. So we're going to use Azure. Anybody has Azure subscription, played with Azure before? So it's going to be very easy, very straightforward. You basically go to a new, and then let's search for bot. We'll find a bot service. It's in a preview mode. Select the bot, Let's create our bot. Let's name it demo. Okay. And then now Azure will provision the bot for us. It will take like a minute or so. So basically, we will start with a very simple bot, which is an echo bot. You will send a message to the bot, and the bot will return the message as is to you. There is no smart thing in that. So any questions so far until the... Okay, it's provisioned. Cool. That was quick. Okay. And then for each bot, you need to register a Microsoft app ID and password, which you can do it within the Azure portal. It just pop up an app name, which will take the same name that you named, and we have an app ID in here. And you'll need to generate a password. Let's copy this password and ID in here. And then when you say OK, it will go back to... Well, I need to click Finish and go back to the bot framework. Then I need to paste the password. And then today I'm going to use Node.js. And here's the different types of bots we can build or scaffolds. So I'm going to use the basic one, which is basically a bot that is echo the user input. So the other things is form, which is a bot can collect information. So you can actually define what the kind of information you want. A proactive bot, which listens to an Azure queue. When something got into the queue, the bot will actually start a conversation with you. So it's the other way around. And generating the bot. And the fourth thing is the Louis-based bot, or Louis-based bot, which connects to a Louis model, which helps you understand the intent from the user input. And the fifth thing is what Microsoft called a Q&A maker bot, which basically connects to your Q&A service, which we will see how to set up and answer a question for you. So generating your bot, it should take a few minutes. Define a few. Few is from 3 to 9, right? Okay. That's a problem with the live demos. Let me just drink water and see. Come on. I wanted it to be a live demo. I have it recorded, but let's just see what's going to happen. Okay. So we have this. Everything has been, you know, generated for us. This is basically... Anybody knows Node.js, worked with Node.js before? Cool. So this is basically a dialogue, which is whenever you send anything to the bot, it just sends back you said and the text that you sent. And this is basically register the endpoint if you're actually using an emulator and then if you're actually publishing the bot. Here you can see the different channels that we have. So we have Skype, web chat, all these channels, including Microsoft Teams. You have some settings, which is the bot name and the bot icon. An application setting, which is the Microsoft app ID and key. Unpublish, if you want to publish the bot, you need to add additional stuff in here. Your company name, publisher email, and stuff, and then it will be published in the bot directory. So if we go back to develop in here, I'm waiting just for the chat interface to load. And here it is. So if I say hi... What it will do, it will say, oh, you said hi. Not very smart. It just... Not even saying that. Yeah, it worked. So you said hi. Just basically, no smart in this bot. So we try to create a bot that is smarter than this one. Sadly, we have to go back. Let's add a new bot service. Maybe it's another feedback for Microsoft so we can actually change the scaffolding within the bot itself instead of just creating a new one. Maybe there's a way, I don't know about that. So we can say bot 2 might be you. Let's create this one. Okay. So let's wait for this one to generate, and I will show you guys another thing, which is I have a generator, which is here. So if you don't have an Azure account, you can work with this yeoman generator. You need to install it, which is if you go to the command line here, you can say yo npm install, and you can say generator bot framework and install it globally. And it will just bring this scaffolding. So this is a yeoman generator. Yeoman is a scaffolding tool. It's basically like the templates in Visual Studio. If you're familiar with the templates in Visual Studio, it helps you to have a seed of a project, and then you update to the project. So, and then let's make a directory and say this is bot 1. Let's go to bot 1, and let's say yo bot framework. It's going to ask you some questions. Hopefully it will work. Yeah. What is the name of the bot? And who's the author? And then it's going to be the same directory. I can use the form one. So let's go back and see until this scaffolding tool generates a form-based bot for us to this one. So this one, again, is we can actually use the existing application ID and password here. I'm going to use Node.js, and this time I need a smarter bot. So we saw the basic one. The form, we're going to generate it using local thing, not the Azure services. So let's use the question and answer bot. In the Q&A maker, it will actually ask you to log in into the Q&A service, which I'm going to use the same account in here. Okay. Oh, God. Yes, close the tab. Okay, so I have this knowledge base, which basically could be, if I go to Q&A maker.ai, which is basically the service that is Q&A maker, which is the service that I'm trying to use now. It's part of Microsoft Cognitive Services. So we have Louis and Q&A maker, and Microsoft earlier this month, they actually published the speech to text recognition, the custom service. So as you can see here, I can see my services, which is this one, for example, it's a vitamin company. I just plug into their FAQ page. So actually, if you add the URL to your knowledge base, let's go and crawl the HTML and actually understand there is questions and answers and add it right away to your knowledge base. Okay? And you can see the settings here. The URLs, you can add another URL. So you can add a public FAQ URLs to your knowledge base. Okay? They could point to a knowledge base in SharePoint that you have internally, but you need this to be publicly accessed by the Q&A service. Okay. And I can here select which knowledge base I'm trying to hook it up with this bot. So I'm going to select the vitamin one, and then I will wait for this one to... Okay. I need another one. Got it. So we have this ID, new password. Okay, why are you trying to do this to me? So it's actually the same ID. Anyways, let's go to the local bot and see how we can actually run this one. So you can just run it by node index.js and pass the ID and password. In this case, this is the ID and this is the password. And you can connect to it using the emulator. There is a version for Windows and another version for macOS. So you can actually do the same thing on macOS. So here you enter the endpoint and then you need the ID and the password in here. And you can choose the local and then connect. You can say hi. And the bot is trying to gather information. So this is the form-based bot. It tries to gather some information about you. So I say my name is Amr. How many years? 14 years. Let's say JavaScript. So now it collects some information, which is, and then it gives you the information that you collected, which is your name is Amr. We've been programming for 14 years using JavaScript. Let's take a look at the code and see how this thing has been built. As you notice, guys, we didn't write any single line of code. This is being generated for us. Very basic, form-based. So this is basically when the bot receives anything. You say hi, you say anything. It goes to a session, and it tries to collect. So it uses a prompt text of a type text, and it uses a prompt for a type number. So if I go back and start a new conversation with the bot, and I say anything. I need to run it. It's not running. Okay. So I need to rerun it, and then let's connect here, start a new conversation with the bot, and just do anything. So anything will go to a dialog slash, which is anything. It's also start the prompt and asking question. If I say, okay, my name is Amr, like it's talking about now how many years. If I say E, actually it's trying to prompt for a number. And this is the difference here between this one, this prompt for text, so it accepts text type, and this one accepts a number, okay? And this one accepts a choice. So if I actually say, yeah, it's 16 years, and I enter 5, it's not a valid option. So this is another basic bot that collects some information from the users using the form. Let us go back and see. I think we need to create another one in here. This time I'm not going to use an existing Microsoft ID. Let's make this one quick. Bot 3. And pin it to the dashboard. A little bit boring, but sorry, guys. Boring stuff in here. Okay, let's create a new Microsoft app and ID. Take the app ID, let's generate a password, let's keep them safe in here. And now we'll choose question and answer. Then we select this vitamin one, and then let's wait for the bot to provision. So we saw the basic bot, which is an echo. We saw the forms one, which is just collecting information. This one is a little bit more smart or smarter than the other two. But it depends on the knowledge base that you put. You can actually import the knowledge base from a CSV file. You can add as many URLs you want. You can go and change the knowledge base itself. So let's wait for this one to generate the bot and let's put a test on it. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Is it expected the knowledge base in a particular format?
No. So if you go here, you can see this is the knowledge base at the end. It has a question and answer because it's a Q&A bot. So question and answer. What the bot is trying to do is intelligently behind the scene is trying to get whatever text you input and try to map it to the appropriate question. So that's the only smart thing. But then at the end, it just sends the answer as is to you. So as you can see here, it's like what age group is suitable. It gives you that. So we'll try to give the bot something that maybe relate to this question. Let's wait for this one to generate it. Come on. Come on. It's taking a long time, huh? So the bot services has a template which consists of an application, which is a web application. It has an Azure queue, and it has an Azure function as well. So if you're using the bot service and you're doing the proactive bot, it will generate the queue and the function that it used to insert the message into the queue itself. So we have the bot here generated for us, and as you can see, it points to, at some point here, where is the settings? Come on, load, 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 load. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Very, very slow. So once the chat interface is being loaded. So the chat interface in here, it's actually a web chat. So it's one of the channels that we saw. We have web chat, we have Teams, we have Skype. This is a web chat. So basically, you can easily have your bot take the URL of this chat. It's actually an iframe. You can stuck it anywhere in your internet. You can stuck it in even in your website. You can put it anywhere. It's just an iframe. Come on, load. Can somebody say load because maybe it hates me? Okay. Let me just go try to. Okay, so until this one loads, let's think of the third or the fourth actually type of the bot, which is the Louis-enabled bot. So before that, let's go and build our Louis model. This was Louis.ai or Louis.ai. You can sign in using a Microsoft ID or your Office 365 ID as well. So I'm going to sign using my Microsoft ID here. As you can see, you can use a pre-built app, which is the Cortana app. You can use, actually, it comes with only 5 languages. If you want more, you can actually build your own app. So let's put Cortana app into a test. Let's say we can say book a meeting in here. And then it's actually generate this URL with a query, as you can see, book a meeting. If we click on this link, it's actually returns something which is an intent, which is, the Cortana model understands that the meaning or the intent behind this text is to book a meeting or actually create a calendar entity. And there is no entities, so there is no parameters for that. So if I go back and say book a meeting with Nick, for example, and try this one out, it understands that there is an entity which is a title. I'm going to create a calendar invite, and I will add a title which is a meeting with Nick. And if you, for example, add more to that, it's like tomorrow, 9 p.m., and try this one out. As you can see, it's a GET request to this URL, so you can actually use it right away. It understands that the time is, the start date is tomorrow, and the start time is 9 p.m. So it's actually understand this time one and the title is a built-in entities within this model. But if we need to create our own model, what we need to do? is basically you go here and create a new application and name the application. And you can choose which category. We'll use productivity here. You can add the description, and here you have the different cultures. So it's there's Brazilian, in addition, Italian, I believe, Japanese, and Korean, in addition to the 5-1, which is out of the box in the Cortana 1. So we'll use English, right? Of course. And we'll generate the application now. In the left-hand side, you can see the intent, which is what you're trying to get from the user. By default, there is none intent. We can add an intent, which is book a meeting, for example, or book meeting. And you need to add at least one example utterance. Let's say book a meeting. And save this one. As you can see, you can actually start training your model. And you can add more utterances, like this one, it's a book a meeting. From the entities, I'm trying to extract from the text the person name and the time. So what I will do is, I will create a custom entity, which is called name. So entities contain the custom entities. Pre-built entities is like the time and the calendar, all the pre-built entities, and we can see how we use this. So I'm going to use an entity called name, which is... And pre-built, I'm going to select the daytime in here. So I don't need to actually train the model on the daytime because I'm using a pre-built entity. So if I say book a meeting with Nick here, what I need to do is highlight this one and say this is the name. If I actually say book a meeting tomorrow, 9 p.m., do I need to highlight anything? No, because it's a pre-built entity. It's already highlighted for you. So the more utterances you add and the more you train the model, it becomes smarter. And also you will have like a report. You can actually see what is the non-label. So say if I'm adding search my documents as utterance, it's not labeled. If I actually go, I can see all labeled, all the errors, all the unlabeled stuff. So I can see all the utterances I have in my model. The other thing that you actually need to add also is the phrase list. If you have interchangeable words like hi, howdy, what's up, and this will map to similarly one word. So you can actually add here a hi, and then you can say it's a hi, it's howdy, and it's welcome, or how are you. And then you can actually check it's exchangeable or not. You can save. So let's add a new intent, which is called welcome intent. Hi. And then save this one. And again, the more you add and the more you train your model, it will become smarter. And after you build your model, what you need to do is you basically need to publish the model. Let's train the model first. Down here. So it's queued for training and it's trained. And then you can publish it. When you publish it, you'll get a URL similar to the Cortana one. And then you can use it. Okay? So let's try this one. Book a meeting. And then you can see here it's 98% book a meeting and it's still not like 100%. So the more you add to it, the more it will converge to 100%, you know, book a meeting one. So this is a very basic model. We have only like, what, 10 utterances or less than 10 utterances. The model will be smarter when you add more utterances to that. So let's see how we can use it within our application. So I'm going to go back here. Go create another folder. Let's call it bot 3, very creative name. And then we can just generate UBot framework. At this time, we'll just keep it as is, everything as is, and this time we'll choose the the Lewis option. And as this one is being generated, let's go back to our Q&A maker and see if this one is being loaded. Yep, it's loaded. So we can say age, for example. Did it understand what I'm trying to say? So from just age, question mark, it understand that I need to look up how old it should be to in order to start taking vitamins. And it's actually give you the answer right away. So we can say like enough meals. It goes connect again to the knowledge base and trying to understand whatever the user has been writing, no match. So if I say meals, just meals. It's like this person can't understand, actually can talk in English. It's like meals. Age. So actually give you an answer, which is you have to take the vitamins with a meal. So if we go back, so our Lewy-based bot is being generated for us. So let's go and take a look at the code. So in here, we have a Lewy model URL, which is the same URL that we used in the demo and opened in the browser. So we just need to have it. So I will go back and open the other application, which is I had more utterances added to it, so it's more trained. It's actually created in April last year, long time ago. So if I go to this application, I can see here I have some other intents, book a meeting and welcome and none, send an email. I have a name and a location, and I have a date time in here as well. So let's see. This is basically the URL I need. Okay, copy link address, and then I just need to add it in here. And as you can see here, it only has one intent, which is none. What we need to do is to start adding other intents, which is, let's say, welcome. And then it's going to be a simple message, which is just send a text to the user. Thank you. Hi. How are you? Okay. So let's go and run this one. I'm going to use another app ID, or even the same, it doesn't really matter. Okay. So this one I'm using, yep. Oops. So I can say node index.js ID is this, and password is this one. I can go and start connecting here. So I'm starting a new conversation. And if I say hi, will it work? Yeah. So it's identified hi maps to a welcome intent. So the bot sent you back, hi, how are you? Okay. Let's start to build a more complicated scenario. So now we want this bot to go and book a meeting for us in our Office 365 calendar. So we need to connect to Office 365. So we go back to Azure AD in here. So this is the admin. I have admin of this tenant. I will basically go to portal.azure.com. So every Office 365 tenant comes with an Azure Active Directory. And this tenant basically is the Microsoft Demos tenant. You can have it for 90 days for free. If you have a Microsoft account, goes to demos.microsoft.com, and then you can have a demo tenant for 90 days. You can play around with it. So if we go to the Azure Active Directory in here, So what I'm building now is the connection between the bot service itself and the Office 365. I'm going to create an Azure application. So I need to go and create the application registration in here. I have one already created, but I'm going to create another one just to show you guys. You just need a name for application. And just any local sign-in URL for now. And you select the application, and then you add permissions. So in this instance, we will add a permission to Microsoft Graph, and then to write to the people calendar. So you can select Microsoft Graph, and then you'll have application permission. You can say write in the calendar. Just to be conscious of time, I will just jump to the demo. I have the other application already configured. You can just select in here, read calendar. We need read and write calendar in all mailboxes, this one. Once you select it and saved, you get your application ID and application key ID and key, and then you can use them in their bot, in your bot, to connect to Office 365 and create the calendar invite. Okay? So back to our bot in here. So what we need to add is we need to add a match statement for book a meeting. Actually, I already have a code snippet for that. Oh, no. And then I will start a waterfall of functions, which is a list of functions in here. The first one is this one. Which is, this one is trying to get the user data from the request itself. I'm trying to get the name and the date and the time, and then move on. The next one in here, let's see, if I don't have the name, the bot will need to ask again for the name, because I don't have the name. I'll ask again for the name. The third one in the waterfall is, I'm just trying to resolve the date time thing. I think now we are +9, this is Sydney time. And the fourth one is basically is the one that connects to Office 365 and create the meeting. So what we need is we need to connect to Office 365. Let's create a new Office 365 connect.js. Okay. I have here these things. So in order to connect to Office 365, we need to use the Azure Active Directory Authentication Library, which works in Node.js. And then I need a request, because I'm sending an HTTP request to Office 365 Graph API. And I'm caching the token into the Node cache. And I might use a certificate from the file system. That's why I'm requiring the FS, which is the file system. So let's say module.exports equals, and this is when I acquire the token. So basically, what I need basically is the client ID and the client secret and the resource. The resource, as we will see, is the SharePoint URL, which is your tenant name dot, sorry, this is Microsoft Graph, not SharePoint, which is like graph.microsoft.com, okay? Let's rename this one. Oh, God. I lost it. Sorry, guys. Require. It's a bad idea to do coding live. Okay, so we acquire the token and Google Meeting, and then we have Book a Meeting function in here. So I think everything is done and dusted. We just need the 0365 constants, which is, I have it as well in here again. So this is the basically the tenant, and this is the resource, which is graph.microsoft.com, and this is the user I'm going to create a calendar invite at. So I'm just using, for simplicity, hard-coded user in here. So what else I need to do in here? I've added this one in here, Office 365 constants, yes. What I need to do is to install all these dependencies. So I need npm install ADL node request, what else? Node cache. I need to install these. So this is basically as including NuGet packages in your Visual Studio. So I need to install these packages for these things to work. What else I need to do in here is to include this into my main file in here. Okay? So what I need to do also to add the require 0365 equal, sorry, a variable 0365 equal require and 0365 connect. And then I can use the 0365 here at the end. Okay. What I need to do also is I have something called date format in here I'm using. So I need to include this one as well. And I need to add this it's case sensitive, so this is with a small f. No, so what's wrong with this one? Doesn't really work. Yep. Now I'm talking about the installation of this one, which should be. Let me just look it up in here. Yep, this one. I think the internet is a little bit clumsy in here. Let's just try it again for last time. Yep, worked. And if we go back in here, we can see that, yep, this is this one. This, let's hope this one works.
What are the chances? Like 1 to 5?
Okay, so the bot is working. Let's have a new conversation in here. Let's say book a meeting. I think I have an exception. I don't understand, book a meeting. So let's go back to here. And the intent is book meeting, not book a meeting. So my mistake was, in the intent switch in here, I said book a meeting, which is wrong. I can say I did this on purpose, but no, I did not. So, let's try it again. Book a meeting. Come on. Yeah, so start to actually identify this. This is a book a meeting. I'm trying to get with who. So I would say with Nick again. Who here named Nick? We have Nicks in the room? Anybody? Nobody. That's good. So when, I can say tomorrow, 9 p.m., and then it will crash. Actually, it booked a meeting. Oh, that's interesting.
So if we go back to this user, and see the user calendar. Oh, wrong password, of course. Of course. Let's see the user calendar and see if we have a meeting with Nick tomorrow at 9 p.m. Good. Running out of time, I know. Internet is just beautiful. Let's keep it beautiful. You need to handle this in your request. Yeah, so it will return actually not a success. I don't see there is internet in here. Come on. So if I go to the calendar.
Okay. So the bit after that is you can actually connect this bot to Microsoft Teams and start working within Microsoft Teams, having a conversation and talking to the bot and executing other tasks. So internet is down or what? So internet is down. Maybe I'll just hook it to my... Okay, good stuff. So if we go to the calendar... Come on, 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 come on.
Okay. Now you guys all regretting being here, huh?
Okay, Skype for Business. I don't see there is a plan for Skype for Business in the roadmap, clearly, but Teams is there, so if you want to work within the enterprise, Teams is there, so you can connect to the Teams. Skype for Business is not one of the channels in there, and I don't actually know if there's actually a roadmap for Skype for Business or not. It's not clear. So we've asked using the user voice around Skype for Business. You can actually go in and to user voice and go to bot framework. This is more of a bot connector issue, not a bot framework issue, and you can actually start thumbing up Skype for Business and see where it actually goes. I still got no connectivity to the calendar in here.
Is there a roadmap for WeChat?
Not something I'm aware of. But okay, as you can see here, we have the meeting here. So booked using Office Assistant. And if you see, it just hard-coded the title with meeting with and the person that we collect his name. Okay, so let's move a little bit quickly and try to connect this bot to Microsoft Teams. What I'm using it now is a proxy called ngRock to create a public URL for our locally running bot. So what you need to do is to get the protocol and the port, and now you have a public URL represents your internal server. And if I go to this is my bot, I need to go and edit the URL itself. So I go to my bots. I have one bot in here, which is this one. I'm just going to edit this URL. The other thing I will edit also, let's save this one, because I'm using a different ID and password in here. I'm going to use the original one. It has to match your published bot, which is I'm using this one. Oopsie. So if I go back in here, it says you bought, because there is a space. Save changes. Okay, so my bot registration is being updated. You can test it. Once you test the bot in here, your ngRock proxy actually will say, oh, I'm getting messages from the cloud. So it's accepted. So I can easily go to channels in here, and I can say add to Teams. So I can open Microsoft Teams in here. And let me get the username. Adobe. At this one dot on Microsoft.com. Once I log in with the user account, everything I've done in the emulator can be done here now in Microsoft Teams. Everything is going slowly today. Anyways, so I have the bot in here. I can say also book a meeting. And it should, you know, work in the same manner. Same thing. And we can say here, Joan, tomorrow 11 p.m. The good thing about here, when you work within Teams, you can actually see your calendar invites right away. So you can go to this tab and see the meetings, and you see that you have a meeting here at 11 o'clock, which is the bot just booked for you. Okay? So basically, all this is a reactive bot, the bot you actually talk to, and it's reactive. It responds to your whatever you're doing. So what we will do now, we'll create a bot that listens to an endpoint that when we upload a file to a SharePoint library, the bot will tell you that there is a file in this SharePoint library has been added. So what I'm going to use is I'm going to use Microsoft Flow here. And this flow is basically when file is being created in the SharePoint, and I'm passing basically this document library, okay? I'm going to call this endpoint. So I'm going to kill this bot now, and I'm going to run this one, which is called the proactive bot. Come on, come on, come on. So I have a proactive bot up and running. And then let's clear this conversation. Let's add the new ID and password in here. Connect this one. No. Cool. So now this bot has been connected. And let's see what we can do. We just need to update this one to this URL as well. So every time, whenever you run in GRok, it gets a new subdomain. So you have to update everything. But again, this is because you're working locally. When you publish to Azure, it's published the same name. Okay, so this bot basically will, when a file has been added to this document library, I'm going to call a post request to this URL, and let me show you the code first. Let's kill this one. No. And so the first bit I want to point out is the conversation updated. So when you have a conversation with the bot, you just initiate a new conversation. I'm just saving the message address, which is a very complicated JSON object, contains the user ID, which is not the email, just a base64 encoded ID of the user, and has the channel, which is either going to be the emulator or the Microsoft Teams channel. And the service URL, which is a local service URL when you're using the emulator versus a Skype URL when you use the Microsoft Teams itself. So I'm just saving the address so I can actually, using this, I can actually add or actually proactively send a message to the correct user. So it's up and running, and it's using, let's double check, the correct ID, and OK. So let's use this one. Let's say hi. OK, so the proactive bot is basically an echo bot, but it has this proactive functionality. So if we go and update and add a new file to this document library, let's upload a file in here. Nope, not the pictures. OK, we have one file being uploaded. Let's go to the flow. Actually, I didn't save the flow. Damn it. So the flow will actually, and it's also off, so okay. So upload again. Upload a new file. Okay. Let's go to the flow. Let's see. Skipped, skipped, skipped. Oh. I'll be very happy if this one works.
You have to kick it into either file.
Yeah. No, you don't need to. Yeah. It's not like an event receiver. Event receiver, you need to check in. Skipped. Okay. Demo. God. I've been a naughty person. Okay. So I'm just waiting for a success or even a failure. So actually, I understand that it actually runs at some point. To give you an idea of the message structure itself, where is one? This is the message structure. So it has the channel ID. It's going to be either emulator or MS Teams. It has an ID of the bot itself, ID of the user, and an ID of the bot. So the ID of the bot has the name, which is when you publish the bot. And it has the service, which is either run locally, or it has like a subdomain of Skype.com if it runs on Microsoft Teams. So hopefully, so we can have questions until this thing actually works, if it works. So we can start having questions because we're running out of time. And this thing, I don't know if it's going to work or not. So, questions, everybody?
I was thinking of implementing something with this kind of technology to create an expert system.
Sorry, could you do that question? Sure. I was hoping to use the bots to create kind of an expert system to spread out the knowledge in our production support team. And I was wondering, is there a way to easily get user input to basically get the list of, say, questions or situations and responses. So if somebody...
So what currently you're using? You're using like a document, a knowledge base in SharePoint, it's Word files, at least you have a content somewhere.
Right now we have two guys that know everything.
So you need to sit with these guys and try to create this knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. You're trying to replace the guys with the bots. Oh, interesting. I see where you're going here. But you need to put it in a format it's searchable. In the keynote, people actually mentioned the Q&A maker, and there is the Azure search. You can actually use SharePoint search. So you could keep them as is in documents, and your bot, instead of connecting to Louis or Louis, it can connect to SharePoint and search for the information and comes back with the information. So you can actually have this different sources. This is basically simple, Cool. So I still have nothing in here. Boop, 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 boop. Skipped, skipped, skipped. I have nothing in here. Let's try to upload it. Maybe let's check it in. I will owe you big time if it works. And major version. Maybe you need to check it in. try this one. Another question until this thing. Okay, let's keep it in. But you guys understand the flow. So look, something happens and then the bot proactively will start a conversation.
So the bot you've just created, is that effectively now publicly available because you've then exposed that through a proxy, or how is it secured?
Okay, so currently the bot is not publicly available for the in the bot directory. So it's just not published, so I never press the publish button. If I press the publish button, it will be available to everybody to actually use it. And you shouldn't actually, you can have an authentication on top of the bot itself. So currently the bot is not authenticated. So anybody can actually use this URL. But you can add your own authentication on top of that as well. Any other question? God, work. It would be awesome if it works. So I gave up on this one.
For Louis, can you train on top of something that's already been trained? What sort of training models are there already that you can perhaps add to?
The two obvious options now is to use the Cortana, which is already there. If you'd like to extend Cortana, it's not possible using Louis. So you can use actually two models. So when you have the bot connects to different URLs, so you can have multiple application. And then you can try this first application. If there is no intent coming back from this one, you can move to the other one. But to extend Cortana, it's nothing. I don't think that it's feasible in this model.
Currently, Facebook supports different templates in terms of response. Can I make those templates working on Skype as well via bot framework?
So when it comes to the message that you send through the channel, there is many types. There is cards, you can have buttons, you can have URLs, you can have images. But the thing is, you will find in the documentation of the bot builder and the bot connector what works with all channels. So the beauty of the bot framework is that you build the bot once and you connect to different channels. If you build something that is going to work only in Skype, it will look like off in the other channels. You will find this in the documentation. So it's not only about text or choices. There is forms, there is cards, there is the tabbed content. So there's a lot of content. Carousels, you can actually swing and choose between. So there's a lot of different content you can send through the channels. Some of them are supported across all channels. Some of them are not supported across all channels. John, in the back.
I had the same question.
Okay. So. No. Sadly, this one didn't go through. No idea.
Sorry, so just asking if Louis is open source.
It's not an open source. It's a free service if you actually, for a number of requests. So it's a service by Microsoft. You can build the model and the applications. When you publish for a production ready, it's a preview still. So I'm not sure that it's a good thing to use it in a production system or not. It's a preview still. So,
what's the main difference between Louis and other, like AI ML and other?
So the main thing is, so as you can see from the bot framework, if I flick back to the code, Microsoft already built it within the bot builder itself. So it makes it very easy for you to connect to Louis. You just need the URL. So again, you need to think about using one ecosystem. You need to use all Microsoft products or not. Yeah, and it's a service and it's free. Yeah. Question in the back. Let's refresh last time.
How do you subscribe a bot to multiple frameworks like Louis and Q&A?
Subscribe a bot to?
The multiple frameworks, Louis and Q&A.
Okay. So basically, if you go, you need to handle this in the code. So basically, if you go back to, let's move in here. So you can have the intents, and you can see one of them could be none. In the none one, you can call and call the Q&A maker. And if the Q&A returns also like similar intent, which is like nothing, you can actually, instead of showing, I don't understand that, you can actually connect to SharePoint Search or any other services. So you need to handle this in your code.
Can I connect to two services at the same time and handle the one that comes back fastest?
This is asynchronous. So basically, you have a request. When the request is finished, you need to do another request. For example, if you have two Louis apps or Louis apps, and you have the same text sent to both, then one of them comes back with an intent of 95%, and the other one comes for a 98%. So you might at the end execute both in a synchronous way and choose what is the best choice for you. So one of them, 98, and the other one, 95, so you choose the 98 and handle this one.
Just quickly, where do you actually assign the flow to be used by the particular document library?
Okay. So if we go back to the flow. So when a file is created as one of the triggers of the flow, what you'll do is you will choose the SharePoint URL, and you can choose a folder in here. So basically, it's based on a folder in a SharePoint site. So this is the folder, which is our document library in here. And then after that, you will call an HTTP post request in here, which maybe this is the case. It didn't save correctly. No, it is. Yeah. And then you send a post request to this, and then you have your message, which is a text message. The bot is telling you that a new file is being created. So the first one is the trigger. You choose the site collection. When you choose, actually, before you choose site collection, it asks about you to log in using the user credentials. So if we create a new flow, you choose this trigger. You'll need to log in to your SharePoint, choose your site collection, and then choose the folder. I don't get that. What? No. The site is developers. Shared document is the folder, which is a document library. Any more questions, guys? All good to go? Okay, thank you guys for coming to the session, and thank you very much. Yeah. I'll be waiting outside if anybody has more questions to answer, hopefully. So, thank you, guys.